Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
This is a time that some people like to skip because we kind of like Christmas a little bit more than Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is extremely important, and it's a good time. Doesn't matter who's playing football that day. Doesn't matter if you have turkey or ham or both, as expensive as it can be today. What matters is that you are thankful, that you are, this is a special time to recount, to look back. I mean, the year's not over, but yet to look back at what God has done. And what God has done may have been through difficulties, through losses, through gains. We can celebrate some things, we mourn other things, but yet we are called that in some way, shape, or fashion, even through, that we are thankful. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, there's a simple, short verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And like I said, that may be displayed differently in each one of us. That word there, everything, in everything, give thanks. You see, your everything may not be his everything, or your everything may not be her everything. Whatever everything is to you, remember that everything is everything. And we're called to be thankful. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, and today I'm going to shoot at you with 1,000 verses. Okay, I've given you a list, but I'm going to give you something. Like in Psalm chapter 106 and verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. In Psalm 107, the next one in verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now go a little bit further in Psalm 118 and verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You get my drift? Repeat, repeat, repeat. Three times, not three. I can count three more and give you six verses where the Old Testament says the exact same thing. Give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, and his love is everlasting. That's exactly what God wants us to do. It's like a command. Be thankful. You see, in everything, be thankful in the New Testament. In the Old Testament says, give thanks for his loving kindness, and his love is everlasting. You see, a thankful heart is always ready for more, right? A thankful heart does not covet more, but is always ready for more. You got that? You see, this is important. When you are thankful, you understand that God is not done, and he's going to continue because he's never changing. His loving kindness is everlasting. So when you are thankful, you're ready for more. But be careful, do not covet more. Just be ready for it, because God knows. You see, that more can be difficulties, that more can be harshness, that more can be triumphs, that more can be defeats. Who knows? But you see, you have an enemy. We have an enemy that's constantly fighting and firing fiery darts of discouragement and lies upon our lives. You see, in the way you can deal with these vicious attacks and his ways, because he is trying to destroy your joy, is through the power of being thankful. When you have a thankful heart, no matter what the devil throws at you, you can always conquer. You see, when we cultivate a life of thankfulness and worship and praise and looking at the splendor of God and how wonderful and how awesome He is, then you'll be able to break through whatever strategy the enemy may have against you to discourage you and take you out. You see, a worshipful and thankful heart, when you live a life like that, it kind of permeates the atmosphere, and it can even get contagious in the presence of God. You see, God dwells in that kind of thing, His joy. And I hope that you guys are encouraged. You see, this coming Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, the church will be open from 6 to 10 for praise, worship, and prayer. And you can come for an hour. You can come from 6 to 7. You can come from 7 to 8. You can come from 8 to 9. You can come from 9 to 10. You can just pick 1 hour. Or if you have it like me, because I've been told, I was voluntold last week from this pulpit in the Spanish service, says, well, yeah, you, pastor, are going to be here all 4 hours. Okay, then I guess so. But you see, I want to encourage you to come over and spend an hour here meditating on all that God has done and meditating with a thankful heart. And you see, there's going to be like little devotionals throughout the 4 hours. And I'm already excited about my part because I'm also going to speak for about 5-10 minutes maybe. But I have something really, really exciting from the Old Testament that says how beautiful it is when God is dwelling upon our joy and our thanksgiving. I'm not going to go there because if not, I'll mess it up, right? You see, but I want you to understand, you see, even the one who's trying to defeat you, he's already been defeated. And you can be thankful for that because his triumph or his work is not eternal or everlasting. See, God's work, his loving kindness endures forever. His kindness, his love, everything that he does, his marvelous deeds are going to be forever and ever and ever more. But the devil will be stopped and he'll be done. Aren't you thankful for that? Now, today I'm going to give you some practical ways. Here, what I'm going to give you today is pretty much, if you're thankful, this is the way you should be living. This is the things that you should be doing. These are the things that really are characteristic of a heart that is thankful. That's why I call it thanks living. Because you ought to be living while thanksgiving, okay? It starts in the mind. It starts with a mindset. When you think, when you ponder upon what God has done, when you ponder upon the things that God has done on your behalf, and when you have your mind consumed and inundated with all these thoughts of what God has done, you start feeling different. You feel thankful. And when you feel grateful and thankful, that feeling then should carry you into action and doing something about it. Living in a certain way. That's why it's called thanksgiving. You see, there's action. You don't just feel thankful. You give something while you feel thankful as you think about these things. That's why I want to talk about thanks living. It is a sacrifice to do sometimes because sometimes you just don't feel so thankful about stuff that happens. So yes, thanksgiving, it's also about sacrificial living. But I won't get ahead of myself. Let's start talking about all these things. So when you're thanks living, when you're living with a thankful heart, you got to think about these things. So a thankful heart counts its blessings. Counts its blessing. You see, you keep them in mind. That's what I was talking about. We start right there in the mind. We start thinking about it. You keep a record of God's blessings. In Psalm 103, verses 2 and 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Don't forget. Keep them in mind, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Wow. You see, this song that we're talking about in the Psalms mentions, and it starts down with simply being joyful and counting your blessings. I know that God surprises you. I know that God surprises me with some of the things that he does, but don't be so surprised because he is God. Amen. And he's so wonderful in everything that he does. And one of the characteristics of a thankful heart is that when you think about the good things that God has done. You know, I don't typically do this. I do take a lot of notes in life. And if you go to my notes and this and that, I'll have notes about all kinds of stuff. But some people journal. Does anybody journal around here? You see, journaling is a great way of thanking God. What if you took, imagine this, if you took a little notebook, or if you took your phone on your notes, or if you took your voice recorder on your phone, and every time you experience a blessing, you record it, you write it down throughout the whole year. Imagine your Thanksgiving list. It'll probably be longer than your Christmas list, hopefully. So I want you to think about that. You see, keep them in mind. Focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. We have been given so much, so keep a record of it. Count your blessings. Number two, a thankful heart is a worshipful heart. You see, we come before him with thanksgiving. Laura was reading from Psalm 100 just a moment ago. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all of the earth, everyone. You see, everyone's included. Everybody has something to be thankful and to be joyful about. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Oh my God, what a lovely thing. Some of you, I think it's too early for the service at 9 a.m. for some of you, because when we're singing, you're like. Maybe we need to get you going a little bit later. Or maybe, I don't know. But you see, singing joyfully, doing something. Move your lips as something. Sing joyfully. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Aren't you glad that you belong to him? Amen. That he is your shepherd and you're his sheep. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Come on, for the Lord is good. Isn't he good? His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Come on. He's not stopping. He's going to bless you. You ought to be thankful. Notice that it says, enter his gates. You know what? When that talks about entering his gates, it's not the gate at your house, it's the gate at his house. This implies that you come and that you spend time here and worship together. Amen. You know, see, there's joy in the house of the Lord. We were just singing. This is the house of the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And with joy. What an amazing thing, right? Oh my God, I'm getting too excited. So let's be thankful. Now, number three, a thankful heart humbly tells about his wondrous deeds. Tell other people. Let everybody know how good God has been. You see how we say out there, you know, you hear this on the radio station all the time. God is good. All the time. God is good, right? Well, tell somebody. Tell them how good he's been to you. Tell somebody about his mighty deeds. Look at Psalm 9 in verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will tell. Are you one to tell when you are told something? I mean, because we're being told to tell. Or are you like, I mean, gossip, you know, and there's a saying in Spanish. And people say, well, I don't like gossip. In Spanish, they say, I don't like gossip, but it's entertaining. Right? It is entertaining. Well, then gossip about God. How about that? Tell somebody about what God has done. Hey, did you hear what God did? Did you hear what he did for so-and-so? Did you hear what he did for me? Oh, let me tell you what he done. Now, you, of course, you know. One way to be thankful about God's wonderful deed is telling others how wonderful he is. Now, this is something to be done with care. Be very, very careful. Why? Because you don't want to fool yourself into pride. You know, when God gives you something, when you're able to acquire something, when you're able to achieve something, when you were blessed with something, you may sound like somebody who is too proud. So be careful. Be careful. You see, this is something to be careful with, because you check yourself before you tell others about God's goodness in your life. You pray before you tell others about God's good deeds on your behalf. Why is that? Because, you see, I've heard people say, you know what, Pastor? I don't like to tell people when God blesses me because they get envious. I don't like to tell people about how God is so blessing me because I don't want them to feel bad about themselves. You see, that's pride right there. Don't you go telling nobody until you fix your heart first, because there's a problem in your heart. If you think that when you tell people about God's goodness in your life, people are going to feel bad about it, then you might be checking yourself on how you're telling about it. What's your attitude? Are you being prideful or are you being thankful? So be careful. You see, you have to be careful. You got to convey gratitude, not pride. But you see, humility then is the key. It says to come before his gates through his gates with thanksgiving. We are his sheep. He is our creator. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. Whatever you have today, whatever you have done, whatever you have achieved, is not of your own. It's because God allowed it, because God helped you, because God has done something on your behalf, and he's given you the power. He's given you, oh my God, God is so good. Remember, it is not you. It's not what you deserve. It's about how undeserving we are to receive so much from God. You see, you got to remember that when you tell other people about what God has done in your life, you tell them with an attitude of humility, making sure that they understand what I'm telling you is I don't deserve this and God has done it. Not because he's done it because I deserve it. Always remember that. So be careful, right? So we've given you right now three things that there are keys to thanks living. A thankful heart counts as blessings. A thankful heart is worshipful heart. And a thankful heart humbly tells others about his wonderful deeds. But let's keep going. A thankful heart does not compare to others. You see that? You see the progression here? Don't compare yourself to others. You see, don't do that. What does it mean to compare? To compare, according to Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, to examine the character or qualities of something and to discover resemblances or differences. You see, when you're looking at so-and-so or looking at so-and-so and looking at yourself and going like, what are we alike and what are we are not alike? And you start comparing yourself to others or comparing what you got with what others have. You see, you got to be careful with that. I was looking at the story of Saul and David. You see, Saul was chosen by the people to be the king. And God said, okay, you want Saul as king? I'll give you Saul as king. Well, you know Saul messed up so badly so many times. And then they are in the middle of a crossroads here. Why? Because the Philistines show up and they bring this huge giant who measured at least 9 feet or so. Think about that. This guy measured about 9 feet tall, and he comes over and says, bring it. And the Philistines say, if you can defeat our guy, then we'll serve you. But if you are defeated by our guy, you will serve us. And no one, even Saul, who was a great warrior, could go at it. And he was afraid. And here comes little David with his little slingshot and says, I take them. Because I come in the spirit of the Lord. I don't come by strength or by might or by my own. Guess what? And they put on the armor of Saul on David, and he couldn't fit in there because it was way too big. He's like, I don't need all this junk. All I need is my slingshot and a stone. Watch me. Because I come in the power of the Lord. And you know what happened? David defeated the giant. He just slung that stone, hit him in the head, knocked him down, and cut his head off with the big sword of the own giant. Here we go. Now, everybody starts singing and dancing. The Bible says that when David returned, the ladies in the choir, the ladies in the town, they all came out dancing. And then they were so, so happy about what's happened because they've been delivered. God has done something miraculous. But guess what? Here comes Saul with his pity. Then Saul became very angry for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? You see, they were singing. You see, Saul has killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. And he's like,
What else? They're going to give them the kingdom too?
Now, I want you to think about this because yes, it happened. He lost his kingdom and David got the kingdom from God, handed over by God himself. But I want you to think about this. The attitude of Saul, he started comparing himself to David. Oh, they see him and they see something bigger than me. They see something better than me. You know, when they look at him, they look at him one way and they look at me and they look at me some other way. I don't like this. But I want you to think about this because he lost sight of what God was doing. You see, he should have continued thanking God. Why? Because God had done something for the people. God had done something for the kingdom that he was the ruler of. You see, you got to be careful when you go out there and start comparing yourself to the popular coworker or your richer friend. Be careful. Don't do that. It's more, you see, we need, don't be going down that low. That's what Saul did. He stooped down low by comparing himself to David. You see, he missed the big picture. Don't miss the big picture. Instead of focusing on David's triumph over Goliath, he should have focused on Goliath's defeat and his kingdom being saved. See, there was a blessing for Saul too. He was still alive and he wasn't serving the Philistines. He was still the king. So focus on what God has done, even if he does it through someone else. And do not compare yourself to others. God made you unique. God made you special. Believe it or not, you are special and you are unique. I don't want to be like you. You don't want to be like me. Don't compare yourself to others. He made you and you are the sheep of his pasture. So he knows what he's doing. Don't wish for your life to be different. God knows what is best for you if you trust him and you're thankful. Amen? So don't compare yourself to others, but also, as you don't compare yourself to others, a thankful heart doesn't do that. A thankful heart does not complain either. Quit your whining. That's what I'm talking about. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Do all things without grumbling or disrupting, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as light in the world. You are the light of the world. You are a child of God. Act like it. And quit your grumbling, quit your griping, quit complaining. Stop. Stop. When you do without complaining. Wouldn't it be great if there was less complaining around us? Would that be great? Then stop complaining. Because a lot of times we complain and we complain about everybody else complaining. Have you heard yourself? I know I've heard myself. I hear people complaining around me, and then I start complaining that they're complaining. And then they'll complain because I'm complaining about them complaining. Whatever. You see, because complaining is going to rob you from the joy. It steals the joy. It sucks the joy out of your life. We get anxious. We get discouraged. You see, when people around you start complaining, what effect does that have on you? It might discourage you and make you anxious, make you sad. It just doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. So be careful. Even when others complain, don't jump on the complaint wagon. Slash the tires of the complaint wagon. You know, don't let it go anywhere. All right? We must always, always remember that when we complain about our circumstances, we're complaining about God's inability. If we say that we trust him so much, when something happens in our lives and we start complaining, what we're saying is, God, I'm complaining because this happened to me. And what I'm saying is, without saying is, God, I'm complaining because you allowed it to happen, because you did this to me, because you. We're blaming God when we complain in our circumstances. Isn't that what the Israelites did? I want you to think, this is so typical. This happened to the people of God, and it happens to you and me. We are the people of God, by the way, right? The Israelites were in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. For 400 years, that's all they knew. Enslavement, hard work, harsh labor, mistreatment. That's all they knew. And here comes God with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And he pulls them out of there with all the riches that they needed. And then he brings them through the Red Sea. He parted the sea and brought them right through dry land. Their enemies perished as they drowned in the sea. When it came back on, they get to the other side and they're celebrating a little. And they're like, oh, Lord, I'm so happy. But what are we going to eat now? There was fish and there was everything. I mean, we sat down and it's plentiful when we were back there and it was so awesome. Now here we're in the middle of the desert. Wah! They start complaining and complaining. God sends them manna. God sends them the Cornish hens from the sky. The food just dropped out of the sky. Yesterday I went to Walmart, spent $545 and wished food would rain out of the sky instead. Don't you wish? That Hoyt, I didn't know my daughter and my wife ate that much. I just didn't know. You see, but they start complaining and complaining. Some people miss to see the grace of God, to see the powerful deeds of God, because they're looking at God through the lens of complaint. And when you look at grace through the lens of complaint, you'll miss. You won't see the grace. You will be disgraced. You see, you'll never be able to see God's goodness and grace looking through the lens of complaining. And I want you to understand, while people are complaining, Moses and Aaron confront the people. And one of the things that Moses said in Exodus chapter 16, you're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Moses told the people, you're not complaining about me. You're not complaining about Aaron. You're complaining about God. So stop it. Stop it. A thankful heart eliminates complaining. You begin to thank God for all the blessings he has given you instead of dwelling in the negative. You focus. You focus, Daniel, son. Focus on the good things. Forget about the bad things. You know, put them aside. Focus. They're not going to go away, but you focus on the good things. Each day, we need to choose gratitude instead of grumbling. It's a choice that we're making. You can make a list of in your mind about complaints, but instead of that, make a list of thankful things. The things that make you thankful. And whenever you start feeling like complaining, go back to your Thanksgiving list and say, wow, all this I've gotten and now I'm complaining about this. Forget that. A thankful heart does not complain, because a thankful heart is a content heart. Now that's the next one. You see, a thankful heart is content heart. Have you ever been in love? Are you in love? You know, it's funny, but I saw one man in here, as soon as I said that, looked at his wife. I don't know if he was looking at her because he loves her so much, but he was looking at her to see if she would look at him. I don't know what happened there, Ed. I mean, but as soon as I said, have you ever been in love? He went, and she didn't even budge. I'm just kidding. It's one of those things. I'm just observing what's happening. And I'm just what you see. I'm reading the room. Sorry about that. But you see, a content heart. Have you ever been in love? When you're in love with someone, you know you're willing to go through all the difficulties and all the needs, and you're willing to go through whatever, thick and thin. Isn't that what the vows say when you get married? In sickness and in health, and rich and for rich or for poor, and all that stuff. And you're like, yes. And you're looking at her eyes, and she's looking in your eyes, and you guys are about to cry as you say just one simple word, yes. It's amazing. I mean, you've heard the saying out there. I mean, I don't care if we live in a cardboard box as long as I live with you. Right? That's what happens when you fall in love with someone. You know what I'm talking about. Now, that's contentment. You know, I don't care if I live in a cardboard box. And she might go like, well, I do, honey. Right? But you see, you're willing to go through all that because there is one thing in particular that makes it for you to be content. And what is that? Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And I love this. Check this out. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. In who? in the Lord. Now I want you to look at this greatly, that now at least you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity. You see, Paul was going through some needs, and the Philippians were very generous and sent him for his needs. But I want you to think about this. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And actually, if I can get verse 12, let's look at verse 12. One more verse over, because this is something else. I want you to see what verse 12 says. I know that I didn't give that to them, but I want you to look at this for a second. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. Look at this. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I have learned a secret. What was his secret? In verse 12. What was the secret that Paul is talking about? Paul is talking about, I've been in need, I've had abundance, I've been in both, but I have a secret that I have learned. What is his secret? The secret that you learn when you fall in love. I don't care, because I have you. I have you, babe. I have you, babe. And the reason why he could have such joy, contentment, is because he had Jesus. You see, Christ's presence in your life is the secret to your content. Is that great? Isn't that awesome? You see, remember that. Anytime you feel discontent, anytime you feel, just think, hey, even if I lose everything, I have Jesus. Amen. You see, his presence makes the difference, because Christ is enough. The secret to content is the sufficiency of Christ in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the author says, no matter what you have or don't have, as long as you have Christ, check this out, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You see that? Don't worry about money. Don't worry about possessions. Don't worry about the physical. Don't worry about having the provision, as long as you know you have Jesus with you. He says, I'll be with you, whether you have or not have anything else. Because Christ lives in me, then I will rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances. You see, a thankful heart also serves others. When you're thankful, you want to help. You want to do. You want to help others. In Psalm 100 in verse 2 says, serve the Lord with what? With gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Thanksgiving. Remember, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. But serve. Serving is part of being thankful. Exercise compassion, exercise some mercy. Love and kindness should guide you when you are thankful. You see, and as you serve others, the next one is, a thankful heart gives cheerfully and generously. You give. As you also serve, you don't just do somebody a favor. You don't just help somebody when they need it. You're also willing to give. And you give cheerfully and generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 says, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. I want you to understand that. He's saying you'll be given, and you'll be given enough to be generous. And when you are generous, it creates an attitude of thanksgiving and awe. You see, when you're generous and when you give cheerfully, others will be thankful. What do you do when somebody gives you something? What do you do when somebody helps you? What do you do when somebody just comes up with something and you're like, wow, man, I am so thankful. What do you want to do with this person? Most likely you want to return the favor. Most likely you want to serve them. Most likely you will want to repay them back. Because it makes you thankful when you receive. And when you give, you should be thankful that they are thankful. And it creates an attitude of gratitude and a thanks living. It's like, you know, you pay it forward. You've heard it before, right? You've even seen the movie. If you haven't, go see that movie. Pay it forward, right? And some people do that. They'll come at you and do something for you or give you something. And when you're like, I don't know how to repay you for this. Well, don't repay me. Go do likewise with somebody else. Right? Didn't Jesus even teach that? go away and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. So that's what we ought to do. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Many thanksgivings to God. You see, when you serve others, it continuously creates more and more and more an attitude of thanksgiving. You see, I want to conclude with something here. See, thankfulness is a key to your life. You see, thankfulness is the key that turns any situation, because it changes you, not because it changes the circumstances, but it changes your outlook into the circumstances. You see, I'm not talking about an unhealthy thankfulness and being thankful for bad things in a way that says, "Oh, I'm so thankful that I went through this." No, but being thankful that God is with you through this. This makes a big difference. Or being thankful and saying, "God, if you allow this, then I may not understand it and it may hurt so much. But I want to thank you for giving me the strength, for being by my side. Because I know that you, something, somehow, you don't just do things and that's it. There's a purpose, there's something else is going to happen. Something else you will continue doing, even when bad things happen." That's a thankful heart right there. Thanksgiving is more than a day. It's just an ongoing discipline so that you may live gratefully. So no matter what season in your life, no matter what season you may be in, we're in the fall season, approaching the winter here real quick, and we love that. But you see, you may be in a season of loss or a season of pain or a season of difficulty or a season of whatever. You know, no matter what season, whether it's a great blessing or distress, when problems overwhelm you, there's a God that loves you, the God of all grace. Just be thankful that he's there and he's willing. As you live a life of thanks, a thanks-living life. Thankful. A thankful heart is a healthy heart. Bring joy to God's heart. Did you know that God has emotions? God gets angry. God gets sad. God gets happy. God experiences joy when we live with gratitude. Think about that. Because a thankful heart makes God feel good. You see, but last but not least, a thankful heart lives sacrificially to please God. Sacrificially. In Psalm 50, the psalmist says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving." See, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. God is honored when you do a sacrifice of thanksgiving, when you sacrifice yourself because you're grateful to God. And then he says, "And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." You see, if you are thankful for what he's done and you sacrifice yourself and you straighten your path, you'll see him carry you through. Basically what it says. So, you know, it's amazing. Even David in Psalm 116:17 says, "I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord." You see, sacrifice is something that we need to understand. God sacrificed his son so that we didn't have to sacrifice like his son. But he does ask for sacrifice. He's asking you and me to deny ourselves in gratitude to him denying himself. When you deny yourself, then you can follow him. Then you see his salvation. What's all this about sacrifice living? Thanks living? What I'm talking about is that you see God's sacrifice on that cross and you are so, so thankful that it drives you to be humble, that it drives you to submit, that it drives you to deny yourself, that it drives you to pick up your cross, to sacrifice and to give it all up. Then you can follow him. And you'll be thankful that you did that. Have you done that in your life? Have you come to the point where you're so thankful and you know what God has done for you that you have denied yourself, taken up your cross every day, giving him your life to follow him? If you have done that, then continuously and every day live thankfully in his grace. But if you have not done that, would you surrender your heart? Would you deny yourself today? Would you sacrifice and say, God, you have given all up. Jesus gave it all up on that cross for me. And I am so thankful that today I want to give it all up for him.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.